All right. Good morning, auditorium class. Great to see everybody today. If you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Dr. Weaver is out preaching in Oklahoma this morning. Do we have any Okies in the room today? Raise your hand. I know you're proud of that if you're an Okie. You know, we sent Dr. Weaver up there today because they need extra preaching, don't they? All God's Texans said amen. I'm just kidding. Pray for him as he preaches. He's preaching in Brother Kim Hayes' church. Many of you know him. He's been in for Mount of Byron conferences and things. Brother Hayes is in Ghana with Brother Steve Vellante. The Vellantes are celebrating their 20th anniversary over there today with Calvary Baptist Church in Techiman. Many of you know, just a couple of weeks ago, Brother Steve came down with malaria, and then since then had some complications with some swelling of kidneys and things like that. By God's grace, I can tell you, he has recovered today and was at church. Your prayers have been answered by God, so thank you for praying. I haven't heard the reports yet, but they were expecting large crowds, and we've been praying for 100 saved over in Ghana this morning, so I hope you'll be in prayer for that as well. So pray for Pastor Weaver as he is out in Oklahoma. We're looking forward to spending some time with you. Now, the adult Sunday school classes are starting a book called Transforming Truths today. I know Dr. Weaver is walking through Revelation with you guys in the morning, and I'm jealous. I wish I could hear that. So what I got to do this morning was go through this entire book this week and pick out my favorite lesson from this book we're about to teach, and you guys are about to get it. And I'm just going to tell you, this lesson has challenged me in a way that a Sunday school lesson has not challenged me in a long time. Challenged the way that I think about this particular issue, and also challenge the way that in my own life I deal with it. So I hope it'll challenge me and be a challenge you and be a blessing to you as it has been to me as well. We're going to look at one verse. It's probably a verse that you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And I just want to teach for a few minutes on the greatest promise about temptation. I don't know about you, but every day I eat. I think I'm in good company here. Every day I walk. Every day I try to brush my teeth. I think I do that every day. I'm pretty certain of that. Every day I get dressed. Every day I comb my hair. There are certain things that we do every day and we don't even think about them, right? I mean, sometimes I get in my car in the morning, head up I-35, end up in my parking spot over here, turn off the ignition and think to myself, how did I even get here? Anybody ever been there? It's so routine. You just do it every day. You know, temptation is like getting dressed. It's like brushing your teeth. It's like getting in your car and going to work in the morning. Every single day of your life, you're going to face temptation. Sometimes it's so strong we know it. At other times, it's so subtle, it's just a part of our everyday existence. Like I said, this message about temptation challenged me. It is a daily encounter that we face. And as Christians, we need to be aware that today we're going to face it, even on a Sunday. Tomorrow morning, when you go to work or go about your normal Monday routine, you're going to face it. Temptation is common to man. This is the most well-cited verse on temptation in the Bible, and it's a verse you are familiar with, but I'm going to tell you there are some golden nuggets below the surface, and I hope you'll engage your mind with me this morning as we try to dig them out. I want you to notice, first of all, this morning, the meaning of temptation. You say, "Pastor Gillett, you really don't need to define for me what temptation is. I think I've got it." Well, when I was studying this week, I thought I had it too. And I'm telling you, I learned some things about this that I had never known before. The word temptation in the Bible has both good and bad connotations. Did you know that? We think of temptation as purely an evil thing, right? We think of it as purely a bad thing. You know, the Bible teaches that there are some positive forms of temptation. Just a few things I want to let you in on. First of all, the word translation is translated different ways. The same Greek word is translated several different places in our English version, the King James. The Greek word for temptation in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is perasmos. Perasmos. To fully understand what it means, we need to see how that word is used in other contexts of Scripture. It's used in John chapter 6, for instance. A great multitude of people that had followed Jesus came close to him at the time of the Passover. Jesus took a look at these people. It's a great crowd. And then he asked his disciple Philip a question. Listen to John 6, verse 5. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" You remember the story? Jesus has compassion on the multitudes. They've been listening to teaching all day. They have nothing to eat. So he asked Philip, "How are we going to get some money to buy bread for all these people?" Then in verse 6 it says, "And this he," talking about Jesus, "and this Jesus said to prove Philip, for he himself knew what he would do." In the verse 6, "and this he said to prove him," the Greek word for prove is perosmos. The same word translated for temptation in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus doing anything evil to Philip? Certainly not. He was proving him. So in this particular connotation, in this particular context, the word tempt can simply mean to prove. Jesus was not seeking to weaken Philip. He was seeking to strengthen his faith by proving him or testing him. Another time the word temptation is used is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It's the word perosmos again, and it says this: "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" Now the word we're studying is also in this verse, but it's not prove this time, it's the word examine. How many of you know that it's a good thing every once in a while to examine our salvation and make sure we are truly in the faith? Honestly, that ought to be happening to us every Sunday as we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. We ought to be examining ourselves. That's a very healthy thing in the life of a believer. And it's this same word. So in John chapter 6, the word that we often call temptation was a proving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it was an examination. Give yourself a test. Make sure you're in the faith. With those definitions in mind, we could reread 1 Corinthians 10:13 like this. There hath no proving taken you, but such as is common to man. There hath no examination taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will not suffer you to be examined above that which you are able, but will with the examination also make a way to escape that ye be able to bear it. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I thought previous to this about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, I thought for sure that the only type of temptation that was being referred to there was the temptation that comes from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I always had a negative connotation to it. But the word actually not only talks about the tempting that the world, the flesh, and the devil does, it also talks about the proving and the examining that God the Father does to us to strengthen our faith. This is key to understand. I think sometimes this is why we don't understand 1 Corinthians 10:13 like we should. Now let me illustrate it if I can. How many of you remember being in school for a lot of time? For a lot of us, that was a long time ago, right? You remember taking tests? Tests are never fun. Did anybody in here like taking tests? I'm waiting for that hand to be raised. There is a valedictorian in here somewhere that just really loved it. I never really, look at this, you guys are all like me. I never really enjoyed taking tests too much. I want you to imagine this, as hard as tests are, I want you to imagine that a college professor decides one day, I'm a college chemistry professor, and I'm going to give the midterm examination to a first grader. That's a crazy illustration, isn't it? The first grader would have no idea how to handle that particular test. What would that do? It would completely overwhelm him, and no doubt about it, he would fail the test. Here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is saying, and this is so good. That just like a college chemistry professor would never give a midterm examination to a first grader, God is never going to give us an examination in the Christian life that we can't pass without with his help. Whatever testing, whatever proving, whatever examination you're going through, God will see to it that that test is on your level and that you, with the help of His Spirit, can handle that test. Now, that's good news this morning, isn't it, church? Because a lot of us get to some of those examinations, a lot of us go through those proving times, and we think, if one more thing happens, I'm going to totally break. And the one more thing happens, and guess what? We don't break. Because God knows exactly the level of testing that we can take, all right? So that's the meaning of temptation. It's a proving, it's an examining, and we have a promise that God won't test us above what we're able. Now notice, not only is the word translated several different ways, notice also the word is amoral. That's the word Brother Shetler uses here. It's amoral. It's without morality. As we mentioned earlier, generally when we think of temptation, we think of it as a bad thing. The word temptation does not necessarily refer to something evil. The connotation, whether it's good or evil, lies with who is doing the tempting. Whether the tempting is bad for me, whether the testing is good for me, and in my own life, I've often liked to think about it, a test comes from God, a temptation comes from the devil. That helps me keep it straight in my own mind. But the determining fact in whether it's good or bad for me comes from the person that is doing the testing. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 is a common passage on temptation. Here's what it said. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So does the devil tempt us for evil? Well, certainly he does. It says in verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and night, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter, another name for Satan, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command thou that these stones be made bread. When the devil was tempting Jesus here, he obviously has evil intentions, right? He's not trying to develop Jesus. He's not trying to strengthen him. He's trying, and it's a failed attempt, but he's trying to get Jesus to fall. On the other hand, consider Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. These were verses we read just a few weeks ago when I preached on a Sunday morning. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. You remember the test? You remember the temptation? What was it? Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him for a sacrifice there. That test, that examination, that proving wasn't coming from the devil. That test was coming from God. Satan has evil intentions behind his temptation for our life. God has good intentions behind his testing for our life. We need to know the difference between the temptation that comes from the devil and the testing that comes from God, because it's going to help us get the lesson that God intends for us to give. God's motive in allowing you to endure through testings and trials is never to make you fall. His heart and purpose, even in those difficult situations, is to make you strong and to bring you closer to his heart. So that's the meaning of temptation. I want you to notice, secondly, the reasons for temptation. Satan has some reasons behind tempting us, and God has some reasons behind testing us. What are these reasons? We need to know what those reasons are. Because God's heart and Satan's motives for temptation are completely different. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. This is the passage that's been going through your mind as I've been talking already. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth what? Death. Again, here's why I love that the writer put this particular passage here. Because when God does his testing in our life, again, the word that's translated tempting several times, even in relation to God, when God does his testing and tempting in our life, it's never for evil. It's always for good. So when we're tempted with evil, we know that the author of that temptation was not God. Because God himself cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Some of you are in here, perhaps, let me see if I can illustrate this. Some of you are saying, I'm going through a real trial of faith right now. I'm really struggling with name a certain sin. I'm going through a real trial of faith right now. I'm struggling with alcohol. I'm going through a real trial of faith right now. I'm struggling with coming to church on Sunday morning. I'm going through a real trial of faith. I'm struggling with pornography. Those things are not trials of faith. They did not come from God. God is not their source. Those things came from the devil. Those are not things that we are to endure in the sense that, well, I'm going to get through this. I'll get through this alcohol. I'll get through this pornography problem one of these days, and I'll learn some great lessons, and this is God's will that I go through this right now. No, it's not. It's not God's will that you struggle and suffer with sin. God wants you to remove that temptation immediately, all right? That sin has to do with you. So there are certain temptations that are temptations for evil. They certainly come from the devil. And on the other hand, like I've said repeatedly, there are testings that come from God to make us stronger. So what are some reasons for temptation? Well, here's one of the first one. Temptation will either fulfill our flesh or it will fortify our faith. The temptations that come from the devil are attempts from him to get us to fulfill our fleshly desires. That's what James 1 was talking about. On the other hand, when a testing comes from God, a time of testing comes from God, he intends that that particular season would fortify our faith. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When evil temptation comes, God wants you to resist it every single time. And I want you to know that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through a submission to God in our lives, if we're truly saved, there's no reason sin should have any power or any control over us. God has given us everything we need in the Christian life to resist and fight against sin. God has given us everything we need to live in victory. Now, I'd like to tell you that I live in victory all the time. I don't. I know that not everybody in this room lives in victory all the time either. But it is possible to defeat the flesh, the world, and the devil. God, on the other hand, when Satan uses temptation to fulfill our flesh, God, on the other hand, will use tests of faith to fortify your faith. God doesn't allow trials just to make life more difficult. He's not out there to make your life miserable. He actually allows those things because he loves you and wants to make you stronger. I gave a testimony, an illustration of this very recently when I was preaching through the life of Joseph on Wednesday nights. And if some of you were here, bear with me, okay? But some of you perhaps weren't. When I was a sophomore in high school, I went to a large school, had thousands of students, and I was playing on the JV basketball team. When you grow up in West Texas, you often have to stay overnight when you travel places. There aren't a lot of places close. So when we would go for ball games, I'd have to stay in a hotel. Every basketball player, every athlete, every band member loves the out-of-town road trip, don't you? A night away from home and mom and dad and with your friends, there's nothing better than that. And I looked forward to out-of-town trips. I loved them. Well, my sophomore year, the coach decided it would be a great idea to pair me up with some varsity ball players. I was 15. These guys were 18. A couple of them were seniors. There was one junior. There were a couple seniors. These were not good guys at all. The very first night, and I had to room with these guys all year long. The very first night we got into our hotel accommodations, I was scared to death of these guys. I wanted to please them, wanted to be the BMOC. I thought it was a privilege for a junior varsity player to be with these guys. And the very first night, they really disappointed me when they turned on pornography. We hadn't been in the room long at all before they turned on HBO. Now, I was a Christian, and I said to these guys, I can't watch this. You've got to turn this off. Let's watch SportsCenter. Let's watch something else. I can't watch this. They said, we're watching it. I said, if you're in this room, you're watching it too. Now, listen, I want you to know, to a sophomore in high school that wants to please the upperclassmen, that seemed like a temptation, a test that was too strong to bear. But you know, with that temptation, God made a way of escape. You know what my way of escape was? It was the bathroom. I went into the bathroom, I locked the door, and I slept in the bathtub. And I did that, and listen, I haven't always passed the test. I'm telling you, one of the few times I passed the test, okay? I slept in the bathtub every single night we went out of town for the rest of the year. And I'm going to tell you something. I thought at the time that that was the most terrible thing that ever happened to me. But I want you to know, since those days, the tests have got harder, and they've gotten stronger, and they've gotten more rigorous. And I'm able to look back on that particular test as a day that God fortified my faith and showed me that I could endure temptation. And each of you in your daily life are going to have testings, not just like that. Each of you in your daily life, Satan's going to bring some temptations across your path. And you're going to have an opportunity, though it may not seem readily available, you'll have an opportunity to escape that temptation. And when you do, your faith in God will be stronger as a result of going through it. So when the test comes, when the trial comes, we can fulfill our flesh, or we can see it as an opportunity to fortify or to build our faith. Here's another great reason for temptation. Temptations can cause us to crash, or on the other hand, they can conform us to Jesus Christ. They can cause us to crash, and we could all tell the stories about people that have crashed because of temptation, can't we? Sure we can. They can cause us to crash, or they can conform us to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. For instance, when Jesus was tempted by Satan there in Matthew 4, what we read, it was for no other purpose than to cause Jesus to fall and to fail. And while Satan was unsuccessful in tempting Jesus, he effectively uses those same temptations in our lives to get Christians to fall every day. Listen to Job's words in Job chapter 23, verse 10, as he went through an intense trial. Job said, "But he, God, knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Isn't that a wonderful perspective on suffering and temptation? Remember the story? There's no doubt that Satan had intended the things that happened to Job for his evil, right? I mean, we get to see this drama that takes place in heaven that Job never gets in on, as far as we know, in his human life. Satan went to God and said, "Job fears you because of all the good things that you've done for him. Let me at him, and I'll make him fall just like the rest of him." And so, as you know, in one day, Job loses everything. And yet the Bible says in all this, Job bows his head and worships and said, "The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord." Satan goes back to heaven again and he says, "Listen, let me touch his body. You let me touch his body and then he will curse you." And God says, "Okay, go ahead and touch his body." Now again, think about the motivations behind these things. Satan thinks that through these testings and trials and temptations that Job is going to fail. But what does Job figure out in Job 23? He figures out that as I go through these things, God has a purpose above and beyond all this. And as I do, I'm going to come out of this thing a better Christian and a more pure follower of Jesus Christ than I was before I went into it. Whatever season of testing or temptation you might be in today, listen to me. When you get to the other end, God's purpose is that you would be better, stronger, and closer to him than you were before the thing happened. One of my favorite quotes, and I think it was from John Newton, one of my favorite quotes says, "Nothing needful he withholds." In other words, everything you need to become the Christian that God wants you to be, he will put into your life as an act of love to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. So temptations can cause us to fall in our flesh, or they can fortify our faith. They can cause us to crash, or they can conform us to Christ. Here's the last passage we'll refer to today. Turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 1. We've already read a portion of James 1, but I want you to look at one more common passage on trials and temptations. Temptations will either destroy our pride, or they will develop our patience. Temptations can destroy pride, they can develop patience. Look at James chapter 1, verse 2. "My brethren," again, he's talking to Christians here, "count it all joy." That's an accounting term. It means chalk it up. Put the money in the account. "Count it all joy when you fall into divers," what? "Temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You know, I think what happens to us often as we walk through times of trial and temptation is that we get discouraged, don't we? That's an easy thing to do. James here is writing about the temptation that God sends to develop our patience in him. I don't know if you've ever heard a pastor say this. My pastor used to say this often. He would say, "Pray for me, but do not pray that I have patience." You ever heard anybody say that? Because if you pray that I have patience, that means that trials will come, because that's the only way you could build patience. I think he was saying that tongue in cheek. But listen to me, if there's anything we need in the Christian life, if we're going to endure the tests and trials that come into our life, it is patience. And rather than getting discouraged and depressed when we have trials, one of the things that can help us to rejoice is to realize that God is doing something in our life. He is building something into our life. He is depositing something into our life that we'll need to draw from in later days to make it through the trials and testings in the future. This, whatever this is, will be for that. Let me give you just a common illustration if I can. Some of you will remember this. A few years ago, we were having a barbecue fundraiser for the teenagers, and God bless you folks for coming out to those things year in, year out. We love you, and we appreciate your support. This particular year, I had decided we were going to pull out all the stops. We were going to do a catered barbecue meal. I had a guy that had been coming to RU, our addictions class, for years. He was one of our model students. He had not touched a drop of alcohol, not a drop, for 5 years. He was the leader in a sober living house. He was the guy that made sure everyone else was accountable, wasn't drinking, wasn't doing drugs. I mean, this was a great guy, loved the Lord, walked with God the whole nine yards. Well, before he had lost everything, when he had gotten into alcohol the first time and got some DWIs, he had had a barbecue catering business. That's what he did. One Friday night, he brought me some barbecue that he smoked on his smoker, and it was the best stuff you've ever put in your mouth. So he kept talking to me. He said, Brother Gillett, I've been coming to this church for a long time now. I'd like to do a feed for everybody. I'd like to serve the Lord. This is a gift God's given me, and I'd like to share it with my church family. And so I kept looking for an opportunity for him to do it. He fed the RU crowd and did a great job with it one Friday. And so I thought, you know what? Let's have, and I don't want to call his name, let's have this guy do barbecue for this barbecue fundraiser. And I got up on Sundays, and I said, listen, folks, this is going to be catered. It'll be the best meal you ever had in your life. Buy a ticket. Come support our teens. And the response was incredible. We sold over 250 tickets that year for this catered barbecue lunch. He was going to do everything at cost. I was so excited. Friday night came around, and I was expecting to see this guy at RU and talk with him more about the plans. I'd been trying to call him that week and couldn't get a hold of him. You know what happened, don't you? That very week, he started drinking again. He got a DWI, and he ended up in the tank all weekend long. So here I am finding all this out on a Friday night about 10:30. I'm supposed to feed 250 people Sunday. And I'm going to tell you what I wanted to do. This is just my flesh. I wanted to, number one, quit the ministry. Number two, I wanted to go bail this guy out, make him cook the food, and then knock him around for a little while, okay? That's what I wanted to do. I didn't do any of that. You know what I did? I asked God for strength. I said, God, there must be a lesson for me in this. I don't want to learn it, but you brought it into my life anyway, so let's learn it. I got up that morning about 6 o'clock Saturday morning after being out late on Friday night. I usually didn't get home till about midnight on Fridays and started getting everything together. We had arranged to get the sides done through a local barbecue place, and I did the best I could. I had to go to Sam's and get the kind of barbecue that you could warm up in the oven. It wasn't beef brisket. It wasn't smoked turkey and sausage like we were hoping for. You know, I think some people were probably disappointed with the meal that day. But let me tell you what it did for me. It developed patience in me. You know, we raised more money that fundraiser than we have ever raised in anything we've ever done for our teenagers. We raised thousands of dollars that day, and I think I only had one complaint about the food all day long. Now, let me tell you something. In the 2.5 years since that event happened, there have been some times in my life when I needed patience. You think a pastor ever needs patience? Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, in the last 6 months that I've been the pastor, they've been a wonderful 6 months, and we've seen God bless. But I have seen my patience stretched by people to limits that I think I didn't have. You know what happens? Every once in a while when someone has just tried me or some trial has come to the church, I think back about that day. I think back about the fact that all 250 of those people got their barbecue. I think back to the fact that a lot of people were happy and a lot of young people got to go to camp. You know what I do? I draw from the reserves of patience that God built up in me when I went through a trial. And let me tell you, one of the great purposes behind whatever trial or temptation is coming to your life is so that through that trial you might get the spiritual strength, let me say it this way, the spiritual liquidity that you'll need to draw from when you go through trials in days ahead. So, when Satan tempts us, it's always a bad thing. Run, flee, resist. When God tempts us, and we can see this is for our good, let's endure, let's count it all joy, let's know that this is for that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for how you've stretched me this week as I've studied this lesson on temptation. I think for my entire life studying your word, I always thought of temptation as a bad thing that only came from the devil. And you use this lesson and this word to readjust my alignment or to readjust my understanding of it. I know that there are probably some people in this room going through trials and temptations right now. If there are some that are struggling with an addictive sin, if there are some that are being tempted by the devil and that's very obvious, would you give them the strength that they need to run, resist, and fight against that temptation? But Lord, if there is a trial or temptation that you've brought into our lives, help us to endure it. We know that you're trying to develop us, not destroy us. And Lord, help us to endure so that we can become the people that you need us to be, so that we can pass the test in the future. In Jesus' name I pray, all God's people said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning.